Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
My pets have always been my babies, so it seemed like something I might be interested in.
And I'll come as long as they do it.
Are you a regular churchgoer?
I'm not. So this has caused me to come back.
Well, those are two people in favor of a policy of a California church that has decided that they can bring their pets. Sounds like, from the story, and you'll hear it here in just a moment, mostly dogs, although cats don't make a lot of noise in church. Of course, people have all kinds of pets. They have parrots, they have gerbils, ferrets. I guess if you wanted to bring a bowl of fish, you could do that as well. I mean, people, we are pet people, aren't we? We're a society that spends a lot of money, billions of dollars on our pets, and some people take their pets to the grocery store, to the movies, to on vacation with them. I'll have to admit, before it became logistically impossible, the Wilkin family took our pets wherever we went, practically. I know, living in a small town, that there are men who wouldn't go any place without their dog sitting next to them in the pickup truck. So why not church? In fact, there's a church, and we'll hear about it from NPR. There's a church in California that has decided, in order to attract some people who may not otherwise come to their church, they have an open policy for pets in church. And I want to know what you think about it. It's audio open lines here for the first half hour of this hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You're listening to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, December the 1st. What do you think of pets in church? I'm not just talking about seeing eye dogs or helper dogs, because that's already something that we see everywhere. What about my pet? I've got a border collie at home, and I don't generally take her any place with me, but golly, if she sits around at home with me and my family, why not go to church with me? I am a little ashamed to admit that I can't count how many cats at home because of several litters of kittens due to strays brought home before they got fixed. And I wouldn't wish that on anyone, but what if someone wants to bring their favorite cat to church? Would you object? And if so, why? So make your case for or against pets in church. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Our email address for your questions, your comments, your reasons for or against bringing pets to church, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can Twitter us at @issuesetc. In about a half hour, we'll discuss leaving homosexuality. Alan Chambers of Exodus International will be our guest. Do you think that we should allow pets to attend Sunday morning worship services? Twitter us at @issuesetc, email us talkback@issuesetc.org, or just give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Now, I understand there are extremes in this. I mean, if someone has, for instance, a pet snake, it might be a little distracting for someone to bring their boa constrictor or their python to church. But let's just talk about the typical pets that people keep around the house, dogs and cats. We let them sleep in our beds. They walk all over our furniture in most places. I mean, you try to keep the dog off the sofa, but more often than not, he makes it up there or she makes it up there. Why not with us to church? I want to hear from you. And I know you have an opinion on this. 1-877-623-6943. talkback@issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Here's a story about a church in Los Angeles that has introduced pets to Sunday morning services.
When a Los Angeles pastor decided his church needed a boost in membership, he did a little soul searching and figured out that man's best friend should be part of the fold. Gloria Hiller dropped in on the Sunday service that's attracting new parishioners and their faithful pooches.
You could say most of those arriving for this Sunday service were not regular churchgoers. For one thing, it took them a while to get settled in their seats.
Good boy. Sit.
That's Emma Sesniak. Her dogs, Marley and Midnight, are on leashes.
They're both rescue dogs.
Midnight is a black fluffy dog that towers over Marley, who may have some terrier in him.
My pets have always been my baby, so it seemed like something I might be interested in.
Another parishioner, Vicky Rambo, is tethered to Sadie and Mac. Both dogs are low to the ground. Vicky guesses they're corgi and something. She says a church service that welcomes dogs is just what she was looking for.
And I'll come as long as they do it.
Are you a regular church goer?
I'm not. So this has caused me to come back.
Now, some are going to say, look, if it's removing another obstacle that someone may have to going to church on Sunday morning, like, well, that church doesn't allow pets. It says no dogs allowed or only seeing eye dogs or something like that. And yet I want to take my pet with me. I take my pet everywhere I go. If removing the obstacle would attract more people, and apparently this congregation in Los Angeles feels that they are attracting more people by having a pets policy, pets are welcome policy on Sunday morning. Some might say, hey, whatever removes an obstacle for anyone, let's do it. Which does give one to wonder why other churches haven't adopted this policy already, a open to pets, bring your pets, all pets allowed kind of a policy. Because, you know, some people might not want to leave their home without their pets. Their pets are like their children or like their close companions. What do you think? 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. It's audio, open lines, issues, etc. on this Tuesday afternoon, December the 1st. You can email us with questions or comments right here in the studio. We get them in real time. talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org.
Sadie and Mac tangled their leashes on their way into the small chapel located next to the church's main sanctuary. A few of the parishioners are in pews, but most are in folding chairs next to doggy beds of various sizes. The music has begun and the congregation is getting a little rambunctious. Someone stepped in the water dish and a border collie wants to play with the poodle mix. It takes a few resounding stays, and then it's time to pray.
Dear God, thank you. Thank you for the occasion of this night. Thank you for the remarkable character of your creation, and thank you for all the gifts that you have given to us, including our four-footed friends. We pray, O God, your blessing for all of them.
So what do you think? I mean, the sound of a dog barking in church. If you came to the Wilkin House any night, you would hear the sound of a dog barking. We have a border collie. She's 13. She is starting to lose track of where she's at sometimes during the day, who she's with. She's like an old woman, and she does tend to bark, whether we put her outside or inside. Unless you have your hand on her head and are petting her constantly, she will bark or she'll whine. And someone might say, well, that will distract people in church, but so do crying babies, right? Or little children tend to make a little more noise than adults. 1-877-623-6943. We're talking about pets in church. At least one church in California is doing it. You heard it for yourself. We'll hear more in just a minute. 1-877-623-6943. talkback@issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Carrie in Minnesota says, I love pets so much, but I don't think they should attend church with people. They would be way too much of a distraction for people. Everyone would ogle at the pets. Church is for people, not for animals, says Carrie in Minnesota. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-MY-I-E. talkback@issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. Here's Lisa listening in Houston, Texas. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for waiting.
Well, I've got two questions. Number one, how am I going to pay attention to a sermon when there's a dog nearby? And number two, I love dogs. But people can, there are people with genuine fear of the creature. And I think we might hinder those who don't believe if they have fear.
Lisa, thank you very much for listening in Houston, and thanks for your comment. Okay, first of all, she's quite right. The dogs can be a distraction. Cats could be a distraction. We have at present 6 cats at our house, and most of them are kittens. And we can hardly carry on a conversation in the Wilkin family when they're in the room because they're cute and they're all over the place. And they do tend to distract. And Lisa raises another question from Houston, Texas. Some people are afraid of dogs. I don't know many people who are afraid of cats, but some people are afraid of dogs of any size. So while it may be an attraction to some, to others, it might be a reason to stay away from the dog service or the cat service. Although, again, we come back to that analogy, and of course it's not perfect, that some people might find children to be a distraction. I know that there have been times in church. I go to a church with a lot of little babies, a lot of young people with small babies, and there have been times when I sit in the back of the church, and it is difficult to listen to the pastor's sermon when you have this beautiful baby staring you in the face, bubbling and gooing and all the things that babies do. So kids can be a distraction too, but we don't exclude them. Gary in Canada says, while I care deeply about pets, I cannot encourage bringing them to church facilities. There are real concerns, concerns greater than reverence, concerns greater than distraction, concerns greater than the messes. The real concern must be for my neighbor, people who need to hear and understand the gospel, people who have allergies and may be harmed by the presence of a pet. Well, that's true. Unless you have a Bichon Frise, I think that's the kind of pet that Jeff keeps at home, the hypoallergenic dog, you might bother some people in more ways than one when you bring them to church. But I want to hear from you, and when we come back from this break, we'll hear more from National Public Radio, the story about that Los Angeles church that is open Sunday morning to pets. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Talkback at issuesetc.org. It's audio open lines. That means your questions, your comments, and your answer to the question, why or why not pets in church? Talkback at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc.
Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House on the uniqueness of the Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ.
That in every lesson, at every level in Growing in Christ, we point out salvation in Christ Jesus, forgiveness of sins, life forever in Christ, so that stories aren't taught as great miracles or moral stories or moments in time, hero stories. They're taught always with Christ in full view, Christ as our Savior from sin, death, and the devil. And that makes all the difference because that's what matters for eternity, not how wowed the children are this week with the coolness of the story and the miracle that's presented. It's all about Christ, and that's why we call it Growing in Christ.
You can receive free samples of Growing in Christ for your Sunday school by calling Concordia Publishing House at 1-800-325-3040 or check out Growing in Christ at cph.org.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington; Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas; St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska; Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina; St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland; Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas; St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota; Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado; and Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. We're talking about animals in church. One California church has decided it's a good way to attract people in. Let the dogs into church, the cats too, whatever pets people might want to bring. How would you object to this? I mean, on the basis of what would you object to this if your pastor were to say to you, you know, I think maybe we've been too restrictive. Maybe there are people out there who would come to church if they could bring their pets. If only for the novelty's sake, maybe they would. Let's let them bring their pets to church. How would you respond to that? Or if someone in the church said, I'd like to be able to bring my pet. Pet's like a part of the family. Can I? 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org is our in-studio email address, and you can Twitter us at issuesetc. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, the 1st of December. Back to the story from National Public Radio.
Reverend Tom Eggebien is the pastor of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Los Angeles. He says traditionally, churches have been slow to recognize the deep bond people have with their pets.
The question was raised by other people. You know, why dogs? Not only are they important family members, but there's more to it than that. They belong to God too, by gum.
Eggebien, himself a dog lover, says another question he's often asked is if he believes dogs have souls.
I prefer to think of the Hebrew word nephesh for life. And when God created life, he blessed every dimension of it. So we share that with all the animals of the world.
Services like those offered at Covenant Presbyterian are part of a growing interest among people for whom pets are central to their lives.
And they want to include them in their spiritual and religious lives as well.
Laura Hobgood-Oster is a professor of religion at Southwestern University. She conducted a survey that found more than 500 churches nationwide conduct annual blessings of pets and animals.
And they very specifically said that in addition to showing that kind of creation care for more than just the human world, that they also were gearing these particular events towards growing their congregations.
Now, that's the rationale that's often used, growing your congregation, a way to attract people, if only through the novelty of you can bring your dog to our church. What do you think of that? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. The Reverend Eggebien that we heard from just a moment ago said, well, you know, they belong to God. Animals belong to God. Well, that's true. I mean, God made them. They are creatures of our Heavenly Father. There's no doubt about that. Does that mean we should bring them to church? Or do you think, since people do regard their pets, especially dogs and cats, as part of their family, members of the family, if you will, that having those pets in church might benefit the pet somehow? I mean, some people might want to make that case. If your congregation was asked to vote about allowing people to bring their pets to church, how would you vote? And why? 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. Scott's listening in Illinois. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Pastor. The problem I have with dogs in a service is the same problem I have with blatantly multicultural services. They usually have more to do with celebrating how wonderful we are and how diverse we are, rather than that Christ died for sinners and we qualify. And I guess I'd have less of a problem with having dogs in church if I had clear Bible passages in front of me saying that Christ died for canines. And if he died for canines, let's bring the kittens, the ferrets, the gerbils, the houseplants, the pet rocks, and the goldfish, too.
Well, Scott, thank you very much. What about the rest of you? 1-877-623-6943 or talk back at issuesetc.org. Now, that's interesting. It's interesting. I mean, what is the qualification for bringing someone to church? What is church there for? Is it simply a place for people to feel welcome or at home? Now, that's maybe getting closer to the premise of why some of these churches are doing this. Church has become merely a place to feel welcome and at home. Betty emails us, why do we go to church? I love dogs and cats, but they are incapable of participating in the liturgy. What would a dog get out of a sermon, the hymns, prayers, etc.? Thank you very much for your thoughts, Betty. Rose is listening in St. Louis. Rose, welcome to Issues, Etc. Hi, Rose.
I was listening to your program, and I'm sorry. I just think it's just kind of ridiculous. Do you take your dog to the doctor when you go? Do you take your dog to the mall when you go? Do you take your dog everywhere you go? No, you do not. And to try to attract people to church, doesn't the Bible say that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me? If we lift God up, if you lift him up, he will draw all men, not bring your dog to draw people to church.
Rose,
some people serve big dinners to draw people to church. Some people, we cannot draw people to church. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw them. You just spread the word. I will draw them.
Rose, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in St. Louis. I like the way she thinks. Daniel in Iowa says, my dog would love the opportunity to bark at other animals. Unfortunately, that would not allow me to pay attention to what God's word is saying, rather, on holding my dog back from sinking his teeth into the juicy parrot, mimicking the pastor's words. Interesting picture painted there, Daniel. Thank you very much. Don in Kansas says, the same church that does not use the church calendar has a man-centered event every week. We have a pet week, and the people bring their pets to church. We've been told that we even baptize the new pets, but I do not know if they baptize them in the name of faith, hope, charity, and sprinkle rose petals over the one being baptized. This is a UCC church he's talking about. Worship is to be centered on Christ and his work of salvation, and a pet service is out of order in a true Christian church. This will take the pet the attention off of Christ and center it on man and his pets. Jesus did not command us to baptize pets. I once knew a Lutheran congregation, visited there, where the pastor not only let the kids bring their Cabbage Patch dolls, he baptized them. I mean, for real, and I, even in my unknowledgeable state, thought something was wrong with that. Steve in Minnesota says it comes down to a use of space. We know that a pool is there for swimming. We know that a football stadium is there for football. We know that the church is there for glorifying Christ, who lived and died and rose again, among other things like Holy Communion, etc. Leave the pets at home, please. So what about the rest of you? What do you think about pets in church? Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. Let's hear the rest of the story from National Public Radio.
Meanwhile, the congregation at Covenant Presbyterian has settled in for the sermon. Some are lounging on the floor. Others are sitting politely on the laps of their owners. All eyes are on the pastor, and they certainly appear to be all ears.
The word dominion, one of the words related in our English language, would be what? Anybody want to hazard a guess? Think of the word dominion in terms of God's love.
Joanna and Robert Barnes, along with their dog Charlie, the small dog with white silky fur, said they appreciate the message of the sermon.
I mean, this is feels like it's as much for the dogs as it is for the owners.
They don't hand out hymnals at this service. It would be just too much, what with holding leashes or a dog in your lap. But the dogs did get biscuits. And by the time the closing hymn was sung, the pit bull in the second row was curled up next to the schnauzer.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
For NPR News, I'm Gloria Hillard.
Can't make this stuff up. I mean, I guess I wonder, as intriguing as our pets are for us, we just gave a couple at church some of our kittens. Beautiful, adorable little cats. I mean, just absolutely, it's hard to part with them, but they're getting good homes. And I could sense from the man when I saw him the next day in church how deeply he appreciated getting these cats, how much it meant to them to have them become part of their house and their home and all those kinds of things. And that has its proper place. I wonder whether or not we have become so accustomed to shaping the church in the terms of our own preferences. I wonder whether or not that is the reason why churches would say, you know, if people want to bring their pets, let them do that too. They do it at home. They do it at the grocery store. They do it elsewhere. Let's let them do it here too. As though And I think a lot of the callers and our emailers reflected this, as though the church were just any other place. Like the mall, like the gas station, like the restaurant. I mean, nowadays you do see pets in restaurants sometimes. As though the church were just any other place, just like any other place. Larry says, how about small Vietnamese pigs? They're quieter, cleaner, and better behaved, and they smell better. How about pet bulls? How about people with severe allergies to pets, asked Marilyn. I mean, all those things are concerns, but I think the greater concern here, as legitimate as those are, is what is church for? Is church here to cater to your desires, your needs, your preferences, or to give you what you genuinely need? It's not even about distraction or devotion. It really is about why you go to church, not why you bring your pet to church, but why you go to church. Can I tell you why I go to church on Sunday? I will tell you. I go to church, people will say, to meet with fellow Christians, to be comforted, to have some camaraderie and things like that, to meet with like-minded individuals. None of that holds any water for me. I'll tell you why I go to church. I need it. I desperately need the forgiveness of sins that I find only in God's word, faithfully preached by my pastor, only given to me in those sacraments that Christ has instituted. I desperately need it. I go to church for the same reason I eat. I go to church for the same reason I sleep. I need it. I need Jesus. And church is where I find Jesus. When we come back, we'll talk about leaving homosexuality. Alan Chambers of Exodus International will be our guest.
Are you looking for a church where you can receive the gifts of God in the gospel and the sacraments and in the church's historic worship with lively music? Then come to Hope Lutheran Church in South St. Louis. We're located on the corner of Brannan and Neosho Streets at 5218 Neosho. You can also reach us on the World Wide Web at www.hopelutheranstl.org and give us a call at 314-352-0014. There is hope in St. Louis.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift between now and the end of the year, we'll send you a CD of an Advent and Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. And for any size year-end gift, we'll send you a CD of Todd's Advent and Christmas sermons.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Dominican Republic works to protect the unborn.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Legislators in the Dominican Republic have amended the country's constitution to protect unborn babies. Despite some international pressure from pro-abortion groups such as the United Nations and Amnesty International, the National Assembly voted by a large margin to change the Constitution to read, "The right to life is inviolable from conception until death." When the language is officially adopted, the Dominican Republic will join Chile, Guatemala, and Paraguay as Latin American countries who offer unborn children the same rights as other citizens. The constitutional right to life.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.